Hey, it's Sean Fennessy, one of the hosts of the Prestige TV podcast. HBO's Barry is back for a fourth and final season, and that means I'll be back recapping the show with co-creator and star Bill Hader to dive deep on the themes, scenes, and major moments in the series. Bill will provide insight into how every episode was made and why it's ending. New Prestige TV Barry recaps will go live every Sunday night when the episode ends, so make sure you're subscribed to the Prestige TV podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, from superchargers and brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors levels your baby up to its peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Shout out, Zach Edwards.
The majesty.
Oh, my goodness.
It's professional wrestling.
Stay mage and enjoy yourself.
It's still rooted.
Delicious chicken.
It was repug.
It's professional wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen, the world's number one sports and recreation podcast, Cheap Heat, Tuesday edition. And I don't know what's going on. Maybe there's some sense of pressure that's been applied. And maybe like Dipperstein or SGG, someone pulled them aside and there was some sort of talking to that occurred. But yet again, here we are, another Tuesday with both SGG and Dip ready to go, starting out in Philadelphia with the physically large Philadelphian SGG.
What's going on, fellas? I mean, this is a great week to be a wrestling fan, is it not?
Not really.
NXT, WWE, AEW, going to pack your weekend up with multiple nights of great wrestling, hopefully multiple nights of great wrestling. That's what I'm anticipating, though.
Oh, wait. And also an afternoon. Don't forget an afternoon.
That's right.
Special start time.
Night of champions. You could watch it at night if you want, but it is starting at Saturday afternoon. And a night of great wrestling.
1 o'clock, the kickoff show at 12 noon from sunny Stamford, Connecticut. And I can't wait to see everybody there. I expect all of you peckerheads to be watching myself. And by the way, not a normal Stamford edition with Matt Camp and Jackie Redmond. It's actually Matt Camp will be there, but Kayla Braxton will be in studio. So, giving you some shades of a real normal PLE kickoff show. So that's at 12 noon.
Also it's Bump Jace too, because isn't she on the bump with Matt Camp?
Yeah. It's Bump. It's Bump Plus.
Bump Plus. It is Bump Plus.
And joining us from Los Angeles, it's very casual today. 35 at 35, Dipperstein.
Don't worry. All the very expensive clothing items will be put on the body after this podcast.
You know, I don't think you have to use the word expensive. Don't you want to just say like, you know,
luxurious?
Luxurious. I mean, have a little class. I mean, what do you?
I'm classless.
You really are. You're one notch away from like putting up a TikTok video where you're like walking into the Louis Vuitton store and being like, I just spent $3,000 on a sweater. You're one. You know, I edited one of your interview clips. Mm-hmm. I made a Dipperstein edit to make him seem like less of a douche. I gave him douche edit.
A douche edit?
Yeah, because you went, I was you said, I was driving in my Range Rover and I deleted the in my Range Rover. I took it out specifically. Are you offended by that?
Let me tell you something. Okay, and I'm happy to share this, my vulnerabilities with the Cheap Heat audience.
Oh, wow. You know what? This is a big day. Go ahead.
I go into the Range Rover dealership on Saturday afternoon to buy a new car. Okay. And, you know, some may think I'm rich. Some may think I'm successful. Some may think this and that about the dip. But
if people think you're rich and successful, it would make sense, as you say it on most episodes of the show.
Right. I wonder where they would get the thought.
The shirt says, Dipperstein, colon, rich and successful. All right, yeah. Keep going. So what happened? I think I know where the story's going.
Yeah. Let me just say, okay, I walked out. It was a very emasculating moment in my life. I walked out of that dealership with my head down without a new car. Okay. Mm-hmm. So
without a new Range Rover, I think if you walk down the street, you might have got a new car.
If you want to, I don't know. I got to be honest. If you want to buy my car new, you're looking at $10,000 down and $1,300 a month.
Your car brand new, they need $10,000 down and $1,300 a month,
which is more than double what I originally leased it for several years ago. So I don't know what's going on with this country.
You can't get a Range Rover for $650 a month. I mean, can I tell you something? You may agree, you may disagree. I've always given Dip a hard time for his cars. Always. I've always said you spend too much on cars. I don't get it. It's like Dip walks a very fine line between Jew from outside Philadelphia and rapper from Memphis who got rich 2 weeks ago. Like he walks right down the line. I mean, I do not understand in this era why anyone, but particularly unless you're like, you know, super legitimately rich, would get an ultra expensive car when you can currently walk into a Mercedes-Benz or BMW dealership and basically walk out with what was always considered a pretty baller car for like $500 a month. I don't understand why someone would spend $1,200 a month. Like, I can make the argument for $500 a month because, to be honest, if you want to be reasonable and get a Honda Accord, you're already looking at $370. So I really can't fault anyone who then was, oh, I might as well go $550 and drive an awesome car. That, to me, makes sense. But to take that next step for a Range Rover of $1,000 a month, $1,200 a month, I
didn't do it. $1,000 a month for a car to me seems insane. I'm not saying I'm not gonna, the third time I go into this Range Rover, it's gonna end up that way.
But why do you keep looking at like, and also, and my joke earlier about
Range I like Rovers. That car. I think it's a beautiful car, and I think it has the perfect. It's very airy. I like a big car, as you know.
Is it just you in the car though?
Most of the
you may
time.
Not even need
90%.
It's only me in the car.
Mm-hmm.
I drive to and from work, and that's it.
I know. It's hard for me to grasp either, SUG. I can't. I can't.
God, let me tell you, going into a car dealership, is there any, I mean, is there, there's nothing worse. I mean, it is, oh my, the only thing worse about going into a car dealership is if they added turbulence into the mix.
Well, I just find.
Sometimes they're all over you, and sometimes they don't even know you're there.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, and you guys know the reason I ended up going to switching to a Benz, the great folks at the Mercedes-Benz of White Plains up here in the New York area, is because I had been at the BMW of Manhattan, and when I told the lady I was thinking about leaving, I never even heard back from her. So I was like, well, I
guess she showed you the door.
You do not care at all. So I'm going to
unlock the door.
And MB, exactly. And MB White Plains has been tremendous. They've done an awesome job. But I will tell you, we live in a time, and I'm sure, seeing as Dip, as we know, you know, we know with how Dip likes to imagine himself. So I'm sure you would feel this way too. If there are people I follow on social media who post things that they're doing financially that I cannot wrap my head around, I'm just like, I know you, I know roughly what you must be making. I'm seeing what you're doing in this post. Not only do I not understand why you're showing off this way and like it makes me feel weird, but number two, how in God's name are you doing it?
Are any of these people in law enforcement? Because then I'd say you don't know roughly what they're making, because that overtime is
That's
bananas.
A great point, but no, SUG. I literally don't follow one person in law enforcement.
Okay.
So well, these are all people in my general field.
Firefighters? Any firefighters? Because it's the same thing.
I know one firefighter, but I'm not referring to him. He's very
That person is rich. That person's rich. I'm telling you right now.
And I'm talking about people in the field, but like I'm talking about a holiday post. I saw a holiday post at some point.
Which holiday was it? Christmas?
I'd rather not say.
Okay. Because if it was a holiday post for like Arbor Day and they just wilding out on Arbor Day.
Let me put it this way.
It was a Passover post. People were showing up. They were showing up their kefilte fish and their rosettes. And
no, Kanye doesn't listen to Cheap Heat. You could say Passover. Kanye
it's
is
somewhere
not
between Arbor Day and Christmas in terms of importance. Between Arbor Day and Christmas.
It's Inauguration Day.
The
You talking about Sukkot?
It was a showing off. Yeah, it was a dip. We can't do Sukkot jokes, dude. We're losing the audience. You got to stay on the surface somewhat, okay?
Yeah.
Come on. We can't talk about lulavs and etrogs for the next.
You just did.
I just did. So no, it was not a Jewish holiday. It was a holiday where people get gifts, okay? And I am not kidding. The gifts, I thought it was like a $20,000 post. I showed it to Natalie. She was like, babe, that is closer to $100,000 post.
Oh my God.
I'm talking about.
What was in
about,
the post?
People getting crazy like this for Kwanzaa?
It was not Kwanzaa.
I'm celebrating Kwanzaa this year.
Every sort of luxury store that where they're walking into the store and they're walking out with 7 bags full from the store. I'm talking about orange bags. I'm talking about this bag. I'm talking about that bag. And I'm talking about bags on bags. It was, I just don't get it. And I admit it right now. There's some level of weird jealousy, even though I don't want to do that. And if I did do that, I certainly wouldn't show it off on social media. But there's clearly some sort of resentment I hold towards it that I can't quite get my head around. But I also just find it weird. Like just objectively, like what?
Peter.
I'm checking my bank statement. Holiday? I feel like I'm Peter. Too poor to even be in this level of the
No, no, SUG. SUG, I got news for you. You're not too poor. You just live to your means. You're a normal, smart person. You could, SUG, I promise you, there are people of your exact means doing posts, maybe not to that extreme, but close to that extreme. On a dip tells me about all the time, on a magical item called, wait for it, a credit card.
No, I have credit cards. I refuse to run them up.
I know,
up,
because again, you're normal. But there are people who make exactly what you make, who are walking into Louis Vuitton on every holiday and going, baby, what you want? Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. And then walk out feeling like they accomplished something. And all they did was create a new bill to last them for God knows how long. Mm-hmm. So you're doing it just right, okay? Am I right, Dip? Am I killing it or not here?
Crushing.
It's a this is what's happening. People are walking into these doors and just going, card down. I'll deal with it later. That's it.
I don't want to deal with it later. That's the piece. I want to deal with it.
I have never
deal with
done
it
that
as close to now as possible.
I have never done that once.
Never just done what?
Walked just into a luxury store like that and put down a credit card for a full price item that was many thousands of dollars. That's either I'm paying cash for it or it's not coming in my car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I could not buy. I'm trying to think if I ever.
I pay cash for stuff, but I have never put it on a credit card.
No, same. I'm with you, Dip. I'd rather just pay cash and miss the cash than put it on a credit card and like
have to stare
like,
at
oh
it for
my
2 years.
God, this is coming. Like it's the boogeyman.
I mean, listen, when I was in the days in my early post-college days, you know, when I probably had $1,000 in my bank account, like period, for a long period of time. I'm guessing I bought equipment before, like where it was a $300 item. and I put it on a credit card and said, I'll pay this off over the next 3 months. And then I did. And I would say, all right, I'm going to pay $100 a month. Boom. At the end, my Circuit City bill is paid. I'm pretty sure I did that in the no money.
But see, you swipe with a plan. That's still better.
Oh yeah. I had a
than
plan.
Just the swipe. And when I see the bill, I'll figure out what I can do.
Come on. I'm better than that. Hold on. Let's see. I want to see something.
Have you talked to Dominic Mysterio about this?
Oh, I have to talk to Dominic about this. Can you guys hear that?
Yeah. Are you calling Natalie?
Let's see if she answers like this. Hey, babe. Hey, babe. I'm leaving City MD right now.
You could have let her get that off on the last Cheap Heat too, by the way.
Did you enjoy that?
You did not let her get away with it at all.
You know what it is, though, by the way? She's not doing it for the audience. The truth is she's doing it for herself.
You said
the
that.
The second she puts the headphones on, she's like, I've noticed it every time. We could be alone, just the two of us. And she's like, I want to hear what I sound like. And she puts on the headphones and she's like, hello. Hey. I'm like, why do you enjoy hearing yourself so much? Yesterday, a direct quote from Natalie. She turned on the K show for once while she's out and about driving. And I'm talking about the wedding. And she comes home and she goes, I have to admit, I love turning on the radio and hearing people talk about me. I was like, oh, you don't say. Do you? I never could tell that.
So, she didn't say I love turning on the radio and hearing you, by the way, who's always on the radio.
Yeah, it's true. Go ahead, Dip.
I walk into a car dealership. It was a luxury. Not just a Range Rover dealership. I walked into another luxury car dealership on Saturday, and I'm not going to say which one. But I walk in, okay? And this is the gimmick of the scent. There's a DJ playing like hardcore like house music, okay? There's a bunch of like tables and chairs set up. And
it was TLC?
Like, one of these, yeah, it was a TLC match outside.
It was. Mm-hmm.
And they're like having a fake party in there. There's no one in the dealership. And it was for people who bought some certain car and owned some certain car to like appreciate, like it was like a customer appreciation day. And there's no one in there. They're just playing loud. There's a DJ, full-blown DJ. There's, you know, there's a buffet of food and all this stuff and like a fake party. And the only people that were eating it and doing anything were the people that worked there.
Where's
and
the
I'm
dealership?
Like, well, yeah, car dealerships will do anything. They'll just, they like, it's like a fake universe in there.
How about this? You guys see my SUG? Do you happen to see my IG story yesterday where I was angry about the acai bowl?
No.
I went to a place.
You have acai problems?
Sounds like it.
I did yesterday. I'm walking down, I'm walking to work and I'm walking on 72nd Street and I know I need to get something. I'm getting something for lunch and it's either going to be a salad or some sort of smoothie or bowl. I'm getting whatever healthy something for lunch. And I see a place with no line. It's brand new and they're selling as an acai place. They have no sign yet on the door. It just says like acai bowls. I looked in, I'm like, oh, okay. This is some new fakakta thing that okay.
It's in there.
And I go in.
Did they take your picture to put on the wall?
No, which I should have taken as disrespect immediately.
Yeah, it's
wrong.
Grand opening.
I should have been the first thing they have on the wall.
Yeah,
but they also had no brothers on the wall. I should just say that. So I look at the different kinds of options. They have small, medium, and large for bowls. Small, medium, and large for smoothies. I go for the medium bowl because I want something substantial and I want it in a bowl. I want to sit down and have a meal. I want a bowl.
Yeah. And also if you like it, you don't want it to be too little with the small, but if you don't like it, you don't want to have so much of it with the large.
Thank you.
Medium is the perfect.
Also SUG, I can't in good conscience get a large because I know what that, I know I have too many ill feelings towards myself to do that. So I get the medium. And the bowl, which costs more than the smoothie, the bowl, wait for it, comes in a cup.
What?
The bowl is in a cup, and they stick a spoon in it. And I go, oh, no. I ordered the bowl, not the smoothie. They went, oh, no, our bowls come in the cup. I went, I just paid $16 for a bowl that comes in a cup. Are you kidding me right now?
No.
With the $16? Tip, with the tip, $18 for a cup of acai bowl?
This is America.
Oh.
I should have just bought a Range Rover. I should have bought a Range Rover.
As a wise man once said, this is America.
It's really out of control. It's disgusting. I have to tell you, though, it was delicious.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED highlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, let's get into it as we head towards Night of Champions. We have a big NXT. What's the NXT vehicle called this weekend, SGG?
I believe it's called Battleground.
Oh, it's Battleground. It is Battleground. That's correct. And what is the, we double or nothing? We're double or nothing thing?
Double or nothing.
Nothinging?
I think I'm going.
You're on the fence? I thought you already said you were going.
I'm still fence.
I have to tell you something. You know what? I wanted to get started, but I can't. SGG, you've never met someone who travels like this. It's so counter to your personality. Like, you remind me of my friend Judd, who's the most responsible person I know, literally the smartest, most successful person I've ever had in my life.
And was Judd at the bachelor party?
He didn't make it, no. And if I make a dinner plan with him, I actually let him off the hook. He was coming. He was coming in from San Francisco, and he would have made three trips in like 2 months. I let him off the hook. I said,
can I digress for 1 second? And I want to hear your opinion of my travel problems, but can I digress for 1 second? I just want you to know that I may have checked in at least 4 or 5 times, both with your brother and with your fiance, about where you were going to eat, what your movements were on this bachelor party. Cause of course I felt bad that I wasn't there, and I attempted to send drinks. I attempted to send desserts. All I wanted to do was send a round of this or a round of that. And these schlumps on this bachelor party, and let me tell you, it was a group of schlumps, okay? All they did was sit around on the couch and watch basketball, okay? I couldn't even send – what was I going to send to this house? I couldn't send a thing. I didn't even know – you know, you can't send something to a house. You can't give a gift that's just Postmates or DoorDash or Caviar. No,
Sure, you could have. Why not?
It's tacky.
We were in the, but here's the thing. We went out once. We went go-karting. That was our only
I saw
activity.
The go-karting. Golf.
Golf, yeah.
We did golf and go-karting.
And I wasn't paying for the round of golf for everybody.
That would have been nice. And ultimately, by the way, it wouldn't have been that bad. It was four people playing at $65 a person. You could that would have been a Dipperstein appropriate gift. But
I thought it'd be more than that. I don't know. I didn't know what you were doing. I didn't have the itinerary, frankly.
Well, by the way, but the Poconos, once my friends cooked a meal and it was so good, I'm like, where are we going out in the Poconos to get a meal that's better than this? Let's just,
right.
We were drinking. Everyone was having a good time. You know, it just didn't make sense. Like the dinner, I really appreciate the effort. Don't worry. Both Nick and Natalie told me that you were feverishly trying to send something. Natalie tried to fake it for about 5 minutes. She goes, hey, where are you going to dinner tonight? I was like, I don't know if we're going to dinner tonight. She's like, okay, just let me know if you go out. I was like, all right, I doubt we're going out. She's like, why don't you go out? I was like, I don't think we want to. She's like, Dipperstein wants to send you something, okay? So if you don't go out, he can't send anything. I was like, all right, way to hold on to that secret for about 38 seconds. But yeah, it just didn't make sense. But the offer is sincerely appreciated. Now, back to your insane travel. My friend, who I was saying is so responsible and successful, if I try to meet him for dinner when he's in town, he ends up being 40 minutes late. Like it's so weird. Like he just can't manage his time well. He'll say like work's going to be done at 8, but it's not done at 8. Work's not done.
Well,
until
New York is hard to judge anything. You know, it's like it's a mess there.
It's still annoying, and it's still very him. And me and my other friends will make fun of him for being him, even if we're staying in a house together somewhere. hey, we're going to leave now. We all stand at the door because he's doing something. Is he just that person?
You're that guy too, though.
But it goes with my personality. Right. I am that guy. What I'm saying is, it doesn't
it's like moving the Red Army.
I futz, but it's
no one futzes like this man. He's walking into this room and futzing. Then he futzes with the dog. Then he futzes with the trash
can. It's overstated. It's truly overstated. I'm not saying I don't futz, but I'm saying it's overstated. In the case of Dipperstein, though, to be so organized, professional, successful, etc., and to hate travel, you would think, SGG, you would want to book it in a way where everything's sort of lined up and you know what you're doing, at least to make it the smoothest thing possible. He will literally tell you he's going on a trip 24 hours out, and that's the best he can do. Wednesday comes, Thursday comes, Friday comes. Mm-hmm. My guess is you will not decide on this wrestling on Sunday until Friday. Maybe
I'm guessing after Night of Champions. Maybe even after Night of Champions.
Maybe he sees how Night of Champions goes, checks his level of satisfaction.
And then he's going, all right, double it.
Here's the thing, though. Here's
I don't know how you operate this way. It's nightmarish to me.
My parents aren't like this. They book things a year in advance. My father goes to the airport 6 hours before the flight. You know, they're rushing in Russia. You know, hurry up. I said, we all have pre-check. We have no luggage. What are we doing? Oh, you never know. There could be traffic. It's a good. But when it comes to like local travel like this or whatever, I have to see how things are progressing. It gives me more comfort to know that I have cleared the runway, pun intended, for this trip. So if I'm going to go this weekend, I was invited to a million things this weekend. It's like the pre-summer, you know, people have birthdays, people have this.
Oh, it's Memorial. Sure. It's the Memorial. Yeah,
I have a million things going on this weekend. Or I can go to Vegas, blow everything off, and just go to do a Vegas trip and go see my favorite thing, which is wrestling, because I think it's great. And so it does take me days and days leading up to a trip like this, which is sort of a flippant thing. It'll cost me, I don't know, about $1,000. And I, you know, I'm just thinking, like, what do the positives outweigh the negatives? And so that's why it's very odd. I am sort of an indecisive person when it comes to travel, because I hate it. But I also, the result of me being there at Double or Nothing, seeing all these, you know, this great wrestling in person and all these people that I love and know at that company, you know, it would be a lot of fun.
So, I understand. I get what it would be. I just then make a decision on what it is. I'm going, I'm not going. Now I can like live my week knowing what my plan is. I can't enjoy a week. I'm struggling right now because I don't know if I'm going to the Celtics game on Thursday in Boston, because I don't know if they're going to win tonight and have a game on Thursday in Boston. And frankly,
see, that's different.
And yeah. It's still irritating. I'm like, I mean, literally, if they win and I then know that I'm going, I will book a flight probably while there's still time on the clock. Like, I need to have it done. I can't. It's just interesting. We're all strange beings. So let's get into this big week that will be of pro wrestling. I suppose we'll start off with the Night of Champions, which I believe is all set now, guys, right? Is there anything that seems left open, or we know what?
You want me to just bust the door open to this conversation right now?
No, I want you to hold on a second and shut the hell up.
Don't say bust it open, Dip. I mean, come on. This is not that kind of show.
That's not a good family choice. I'm looking right now. There's 7 matches right now. Is anything getting added this week?
They could do a stipulation for Brock and Cody, which I'm suspecting is...
Oh, stipulation.
...is going to come down the pipeline.
Dip, you've now said you're going to blow the... I'm going to go with blow the doors open. Go ahead.
Blow the doors open, yeah.
What's wrong with because it's the name of another podcast?
I didn't think about Bust It Open.
No, shouts to Bust It Open. Although, by the way, that is funny too when you think about it. No, but go ahead.
So Seth Rollins is sans gimmick now. After that interview last night, they do the backstage interview with Seth Rollins. He loses his crazy personality and his weird clothes. And now it's just all about his time. It's my time. It was terrible. He's a nutbag.
Is that what happened? It's officially over? Does that mean it's done?
This is I don't think they'll do the whoa thing, but it'll not be because he's nuts. It'll be because that's the gimmick. The gimmick is now, that's his gimmick.
What did he say exactly?
Yeah.
He did a backstage interview with Corey Graves. More of the same one, right?
Yeah, it was like the four part.
Yeah, it's like a get to know Seth Rollins, or why is this Seth Rollins? Why is this his moment? And he drops the gimmick. He does it like in kayfabe, but out of kayfabe with his character. And so now it's like, what? We're supposed to buy that he's not that crazy person anymore?
Since I was 4 years old, as long as I can remember, this has been everything I've ever dreamed of.
Oh, God. Haven't we heard this from him before?
Given me a life beyond my wildest dreams.
So does this all mean that it's not coming back?
No.
I don't think this is it.
I think Dip is overstating it. I don't think he dropped the gimmick. I think, like Dip said, the chant is so a part of it, and like the crazy man antics and the wild outfits, but all of that is very crowd dependent. And so it doesn't make sense for him to be that way in a one-on-one interview when there's no crowd. Like,
he didn't have to do the one-on-one interview.
He didn't. And I think that they're leaning so heavily on the Seth that the swerve is AJ walks out of it with the World Heavyweight Championship.
I would love it because it's too straightforward.
I don't know. I mean, I can't figure it out. I would love for it to be that, but it's too straightforward now that like,
yeah, it has been telegraphed. You know what it would be like? It would be like, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the last couple of weeks, it would be like if Roman had just continued on Succession on his path and then boom, and then gets it. Like the setup became so obvious that it's like, well, obviously they're going to have to turn here because this is now too perfect. I hear what you're saying, because the Seth
Thanks for ruining Succession, since I haven't watched this episode yet.
He gave you nothing, though. He gave you nothing.
I gave you nothing. Yeah. But you haven't had that feeling. No, I'm not saying anything happened, but you haven't had that feeling the whole time that Roman started getting the lead too early. It's like four episodes left and Roman starts really getting control and becoming friends with the next president. I immediately then go, oh, it's not Roman.
You're talking about Roman? It's not Roman. It's Jeremy Strong. Right.
Yeah.
It's not Roman.
You mean Kieran Kendall?
Culkin.
Yeah, he means Kendall.
Us normal humans talk to them as the characters. No one says Jeremy Strong. What did you say?
You said the wrong name. Roman.
No, he didn't. He means Roman.
No, I mean
he means Roman.
I haven't seen the last 2 weeks, so can we stop talking about it? Thanks.
I, for one, am going to throw my money behind Cousin Greg. I mean, that's good.
Oh, by the way, a lot of people are throwing their money behind Cousin Greg.
It's a sleeper pick.
Can we stop talking about it? Thanks.
Dip, you can't be 2 weeks behind on Succession anymore. You got to start living your life, dude.
Yeah, they got one episode left. You got to be caught up by next week.
No, let's all be honest. This is the kind of show, pop culture-wise, coming down the stretch. You cannot take weeks off and get courtesy. SGG, I'm taking a stand on this.
I can't get courtesy from Fecal.
It's 2 days. We gave you the 24-hour window.
In real life in Hollywood? How are you avoiding? Yes. No one's saying it?
I'm dancing around it. I'm dancing purposely. I'm purposely avoiding. I'm making an effort to avoid.
I know you're busy, dude. Can you not make 55 minutes? How? At this stage, at this time.
55 minutes for probably the best show on TV.
I'm watching wrestling. I can't stop. I'm watching 9 hours of wrestling a week.
Well, you know what, Dip? Decision's made. You're not going to Double or Nothing. You're getting caught up on Succession.
Yeah, by the way, that
you're
is true.
You're watching the finale.
Dude,
we're not dealing with this shit next week.
That's a great point. Try to show up on Tuesday and go, no spoilers, I didn't watch the finale to the biggest show on TV. I'm waiting 2 weeks. Double
or Nothing's on the second screen. Dangerous. We're not dealing with this shit next week.
I know. I've been yelled at by numerous people yesterday.
This is too much. It's people one thing yelling it's like, screaming. If it's mid second season, it's like, okay, I get it.
Right.
But now, I mean, come on, dude. Come on. This thing come on, is... Oh, it's come on, dude levels.
Yeah.
It's come on, dude.
This is where we're at.
All right. Anyways, that would be so obvious, though. So, I mean, the Seth thing has been, I didn't think about it that he was completely abandoning the thing. Although I will tell you, I don't love this Seth thing. So I know a lot of people don't,
but it's like, I'm not even complaining about it. I don't mean it's terrible. I love Seth Rollins. He's one of my guys. I'm just saying AJ's. The point was what you already made. AJ Styles needs to come away with this win and this title. I'm fine with Seth chasing it and eventually winning it, but the telegraphing is so repug that it's got to be an AJ Styles win. And I'm anyway, that's
because even like, you know, Seth Rollins had this two-part interview on Raw, and I was like, okay, I'm curious to see how they build up AJ's progression, and then it ends up just being the Grayson Waller effect. And then on Monday, they make AJ Styles sort of a footnote in part three of this Seth Rollins, why I'm going to be world champion video essay. And AJ Styles comes away and says, Seth Rollins is the future of this business and he's only 19. And then they have AJ Styles hyping up Seth Rollins.
Yo, that is crazy. Like, that is wild. That is wild.
So I'm hoping that after all of this, it's AJ, and that he has to go to Raw, and Seth Rollins is right there as like his first challenger built in with the Rumble.
It really does seem as if we are on the verge adjacent of bloodline implosion. Roman appeared to be the weakest he's maybe ever appeared in this iteration of him when he bumped into Solo and then sort of scurried away.
I like the scurry, by the way. That was a great scurry.
It was a great scurry, but
it was a Mount Rushmore of scurries.
It was one of, if not the most sort of chicken shit things he's done, was like he bumped into, I at first were like, well, why would Solo really be, wouldn't Solo just be like, oh, it's okay, it's cool, no problem.
No, yeah. He's the street champion for a reason, not because he lets stuff slide.
Wait, but even your boss, your tribal chief,
That's the thing, right? It's like, even though they have a boss, does anybody really believe that they're not the boss? Especially like a guy like Solo. Like, think about The Sopranos, right? Even when Tony wasn't the boss, he was the boss. You didn't want to cross him. When he was answering
that's
people.
Lofty. That's lofty for Solo, but I hear what you're saying.
but they also put that pressure on him in storyline. You know what I mean? Like, he's the one that enforces things for everybody. Even Jay, he had Jay by the throat, and Jay didn't want to fight. Jay tried to reason with him. All he could say, I'm your brother.
True.
Here's the thing.
Nobody wants to cross Solo.
You have to take into consideration, though, what was going on at that moment in that scene. In the ring, you had the Usos tried to come save the day and beat up Sammy. And then, you know, because they were in peril. Solo was in peril. And he saved Solo. And then Roman said, you didn't have to do that. I didn't ask you to come down here. But Solo needed them. And then he yelled, you know, he wasn't taking care of Solo at that exact moment. He wasn't thinking about Solo's well-being. And then when he bumped him, that just showed, like, you know, I don't really respect you either. I can bump you.
But he immediately regretted the bump. He didn't mean to bump him.
Do you think he regretted the bump, or was he just like, do you think that scurrying was an I'm sorry scurry?
I'm sorry.
He said, I'm sorry. I don't know if I caught that.
Yeah, he said, I'm sorry, put his hands up. It was like a very like, it's cool, I didn't mean it. And then he got out the ring.
Yeah, I actually thought it was really an accidental bump. I really did.
Like an actual accidental bump.
That's how I took it, yes. But like, he's losing control right now.
Yes, that is the key right there. The he's losing control, because even at in the follow-up, right, backstage, he's yelling more than he ever has at the Usos again, because he had a plan. They didn't stick to the plan. And so he's spiraling because everything else is spiraling around him. That lack of control, he couldn't handle it at all.
I'm watching it again right now because he's turning up on Jimmy Uso bad.
Shout out for them for Master Uso Theater, by the way. I'm enjoying every chapter.
We know you are, SUG. Do you think anyone?
Yeah, Master.
Oh, it's clear.
Master Uso Theater.
Oh no, you're right, Dip. It's interesting. Oh no, see, hold on, SUG. We got it a little wrong. On the bump at first, he tries to give him a "how dare you" kind of look to Solo, and then Solo looks back at him, and he ends up just putting his hands up and walking away.
And then they zoom in on Solo.
And then they zoom in on Solo staring at his shoulder in disgust. That was, it is funny. He definitively gives him a, you just bump into me? To Solo, and then Solo gives it back, and he's like, whoops, my bad. So that was actually sort of like a big dog kind of moment. Like, he got big dogged by.
How could this not be leading up to The Rock?
I'll let go of The Rock. I gave up on The Rock.
Yeah, I can't believe you still think about it. I think this next
chapter is going to lead to, of Master Ustida, is going to lead to the Bloodline Civil War with Roman and possibly Solo against the Usos. And then I don't know where they go from there, but I think
Solo turns on Roman too. And then you have weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks of Roman versus all three of them in different situations.
Does Roman get someone else who has his back?
No.
Who?
I think he's the chicken shit heel that's like alone for a while.
Him and Paul?
Yeah, and then, you know, there's some Paul fissure too.
I wonder if I see it that way. I kind of feel like there'll be someone else who comes in.
Another
who
Uso?
Do they get?
I don't. Well, there are others in the family.
No, yeah, the family, no, no, but the family tree is huge.
What'd you say?
The family tree is huge. So there's
other people to get, but I also just wonder if it's someone else in the company that there's a logical play with we hadn't thought of. Or
no,
it's not as compelling though if he doesn't have help. It immediately becomes impossible. How could he possibly survive the Usos or Solo, especially if they've all turned against him? He would
They're
need
banned
to
from
help.
Ringside. They're blah, 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 blah. You know, there's a million ways.
You can just grab Adam
I mean,
Pierce.
Banned from ringside is means nothing. Solo got tossed, and then how did Cody Rhodes lose? Samoa Spike to the throat, right? Usos get banned from ringside, and then somehow, some way, somebody's eating a super kick. If Roman needs that, banned from ringside.
I think what happens at Night of Champions is that Solo turns on Roman. Is my guess. He gives him the Samoan Spike. The Usos win the tag titles. Roman is flummoxed.
They don't. No. It's them for the tag titles against Sammy and KO.
Or I didn't mean that. I meant KO wins the or Sammy and KO win back the tag titles, and that the implosion occurs right there. You know.
Well, that would be. We've said there has to be some sort of conclusion to that match that is interesting. There's no version that's not.
Or they win the tag titles and throw it at the Usos, like I said last week.
Now, see, that's interesting.
You needed us to get this done for you.
Jimmy, I don't.
That's interesting. That's more interesting.
It's not going to happen. They're too close to implosion to take the titles off Sammy and KO, who are now being, you know, who now sort of have a certain level of status. I mean,
Do the Usos cost Roman and Solo? Like, do they accidentally
maybe
kick one of them?
They inadvertently costed them the match. Smart.
That could be interesting, actually. That could be interesting as well. I do believe, though, that Sammy, KO, and retain, and I also hope for all of us that it is the last we see of Sammy, KO, and the Bloodline. The only other thing that I'd ever want to see with the Bloodline is Sammy and Jay reuniting in some way. That's kind of all that's there to me for that. Like, I don't think KO versus Roman, Sammy, I don't have, I just, I'm losing the appetite for it.
Yeah. Every time I hear the music, I'm like, oh, gosh. We'll see what happens at NFCs, dude.
NFCs?
Yeah, dude.
Night of Champions?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and of C's. Got it. It took me a second there. Let's see. Anything else that's of interest?
We got to talk about Cody and Brock, right? Triple main event. We run through two of them.
It's a triple main event. You have the aforementioned tag title match. Then you have Cody versus Brock. I mean, guys, you know, we've compared Cody to John Cena before. Could he be any more Cena than he is right now? Like, he just keeps fighting forward. I mean, soon he'll have one of his arms amputated and we'll still say he's having the match against Brock Lesnar and we'll still win the match against Brock
Lesnar. That was bizarre. I don't know, man. It was like, now he's like fighting against the odds again with the injury, like a fake injury as opposed to the pec. Like, it's, ugh. I give Vault and Himmel. I don't know what to say.
It's an interesting choice to go back to like that same thing. We got one that was so good. I feel like this could have been as simple as a stipulation that really favored Brock. I don't know that we needed him to be dead.
Which could still be coming, right? Like, it could be an unsanctioned match or something that favors Brock. But I'll say that maybe they're going back to it because it worked so well last time. Because Cody, I feel like Cody is performing at his best when it feels like the deck is stacked against them. Like whether it's the torn peck, which couldn't have come at a better time in that Seth Rollins stuff, because it was starting to get stale watching him just sweep Seth. And then he has the torn peck and goes into legend status. And then going up against the whole bloodline with zero allies, as much as KO and Sammy tried to help him out, it really was 4-on-1. And then now with Brock with one arm, and we still don't even know why Brock put a target on Cody. I saw some theories out there.
He's a terrible guy.
That's the one that seems to be most prevalent. But yeah, I think Cody does perform at his best when the odds are stacked against him. And like an injury going in against Brock is going to make the match much more interesting, I think, than just...
Or maybe they want to have three of them. And this is one where the odds are just stacked too high and Cody actually loses this one. And then wins a rubber match.
Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen.
Because it's starting to get to the point of just completely unreasonable.
He can't beat Brock with one arm, though.
What do we think of that Trish promo last night?
I didn't think nearly as badly of it as you did. You set the bar with your text message to that last night, or whenever it was. And then I watched it after I read what you said, and I didn't think it was nearly as bad as you.
Well, that's good then, because he set your expectation in hell, and then you realize that it was, you know,
a little bit
higher than that.
Did you watch the Apollo backstage segment with Rhea and Dom?
Yeah, I thought that was good. I thought all three of them did well. I did. I thought all three of them did really well.
What's going on in that head of yours? What is in there?
What was so bad about it?
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
It served the purpose of getting them to the match. He was trying to give an interview. They came off very dismissive. They did what they do very brilliantly. He, unlike Ali, who walked away after Brock, completely interrupted his interview.
I'm going to beat you up. I'd like to see you try. Okay, I'll see you out there. It was bizarre.
Is that what it was?
It was like a soap opera. It was like, I don't even know what it was. It was bad, dude.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what Dip is watching sometimes. I didn't think it was that bad.
Okay. I'm watching literally verbatim exactly what was that. That's exactly. Play it.
What time in the show was it around?
Towards the end?
After Trish? Oh, yeah, there's.
The match was after Trish. The interaction might have been closer to the beginning. I'm not sure.
I'm good on Dom Dom now. I'm good on Dom Dom, but that backstage was, whoa, baby.
Oh, no. I can't believe you didn't talk about the Raquel backstage either.
Oh, God. Like a vault.
That was rough, too.
That was rough.
Hey, nice to meet you. Now we're best friends. Let's win the titles together. Woo!
That was so bad.
Listen, please save the bad backstages for AEW. Give it, you know what I mean? Let them have their room. But I'm still looking for the Apollo one because I don't know how early in the night it came.
It wasn't worse than the Trish. Sad to say.
What was so bad about Trish's promo? I just thought it was sort of what she sounds like.
I don't like, I feel like her delivery is not clicking with me in the way that it's supposed to. I don't get that she's threatening. I don't find her, I don't think that anybody believes that she's threatening. I don't think that she's coming across as a mean girl well enough to be in that role. And when she's saying it, it's just like the believability of it all is drained completely. And it's like, I know everybody's acting, but the bad acting is what kills me and takes me out of some of this stuff, like across the board, not just with Trish. And I think
you're talking about bad acting, that you don't like bad acting, but that segment with Apollo Crews was okay.
Yeah.
Correct. Oh my God.
Yeah. Because I think the Trish though, the mean girl role is not, it doesn't suit her. And I don't know if it's because she's Canadian and she's too nice to play it effectively. Or what? But did you see the Brock Lesnar Ali interaction?
I see that right now. I see Byron talking to
You might want to play that. I think we got a new drop out of that.
But if you look back at my career, I haven't even come close to that. I mean, it's been failure after failure after failure, and no one believes that I can defeat Gunther and become the
Oh, yeah, this is rough, too.
Get a life, kid.
And he, Ali was like...
The beast incarnate is here!
I didn't hate it.
I loved it.
I don't hate it because like Brock's just like, who are you? What are you talking about? It kind of works, no?
Bully Brock is my favorite Brock.
It was mean.
It was mean. Get a life. You're just talking and dogging. Get a life, kid.
Yeah, he pointed right at him, like pointed directly into his soul.
Okay, after lots of chatter, I will be the deciding vote. Dip says this is a horrifying little segment.
I say it's not that bad.
SGG says not that bad. Didn't have any problem with it. No. And real quick, I'm looking for the interaction between, I'm guessing, Dom Dom and Apollo.
No, just play from the... Rhea's not bad in it. Just
all right, here's Rhea.
That day afternoon at Night of Champions, I'm going to make an example out of you. I'm going to make you not only regret getting drafted to Raw, but I'm going to end your legendary career. Excuse me.
Look, no disrespect, Rhea. I know you're the champ and everything, but this is my interview.
You don't interrupt mommy.
I like that.
I just did. The question is, what are you going to do about it?
What is he going to do about it? He's going to remind you exactly who runs Monday Night Raw. Right, Dom Dom?
Yeah, that's right.
All right. I can't wait to see you try.
Oh, my God. The timing is just terrible. Like, they didn't know what they were reacting to. And it's like, what?
Okay, I really liked Don't Interrupt Mommy. That was funny. That felt intentionally funny. Then I thought Dip was really overstating it. Then Apollo's I'd Like to See You Try was pretty rough. That SGG, you didn't think that last line was rough? I'd like to see you try.
I didn't think it was that bad.
It was like filming like two little kids trying to do it like a play in elementary school.
All right. I can't wait to see you try.
The inflection's not right. It's just not right.
He's dismissive. He's equally dismissive of them as they were of him. He's laughing through his statement.
Greg, I love you to death.
He's not deranged. He's pretzeling right now. There's no way. I mean, listen, I'm not saying it was bad as Dip said. Dip overstated how bad.
I don't think it was bad at all.
I thought it was going to be absolute flames, but that delivery at the end, SGG, was.
I will say something positive about Apollo Crews. His physique is unbelievable. I mean, the man looks like a 12.
Yeah, I mean, that goes without saying.
His physical appearance is incredible. I always thought he deserved more.
Well, he ain't going to get it with China like this.
Yeah, I mean, well, the thing is,
good job setting him up for success.
I mean, but that you can't lie. You can't sit here and lie. Well, what's that going to do?
Oh, no, I didn't think it was that bad. I didn't say it was the greatest promo I've ever seen. I said it wasn't as bad as Dip is saying.
They couldn't remember what they were supposed to say. The timing was totally off. The inflections in their reactions didn't match what the previous person said. It was.
Yeah, I think Dip's saying it well in that sense. There is something not matching about the people talking. There's like three different people doing three different things.
Yeah.
All in the same
scene. He's like, how are you? Good.
Wait. You're saying that it was acted like the daughter on Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Yeah.
Really? And what is your problem?
Yo, they need to bring her back, by the way. She's not coming back.
I hope she's not coming back.
I don't think so. I feel like they completed her story arc.
They did, but I would find a way to bring her back anyway.
That was really funny, by the way. That was That was good stuff. Good callback.
That was a great season.
All right, so last PLE, I said, oh my God, can you imagine it'd be the biggest upset in the world if Zelina Vega were to somehow beat Rhea Ripley? I would just like to say, about a month later, it would be a bigger upset if Natalya were to beat Rhea Ripley at
Night of Champions.
Yeah, that's not happening.
No.
That one is not happening.
Do we think Trish beats Becky Lynch?
Potential.
I think potential. Because I don't think she's rushing. I don't think she's in and out. First of all, we didn't give a pick on Cody and Brock. None of us really know what's going to happen there. I guess we...
Who won the last match? I don't even remember.
Cody won the last match.
I'll go Brock and say Cody ends up winning 2 of 3.
Brock.
Yeah, I'm going to go Brock as well. Like, the man has one arm. I'm not going to bet against a man with one arm against Brock.
Do we want to talk about Double or Nothing at all?
No? Yes, real quick. But for the last of the three main events, you guys have SGG, you have AJ?
I have AJ, yep. And I have KO and Sammy.
Yeah, I have Seth and KO and Sammy. I have Gunther retaining against Mustafa Ali. Mm. I have Bianca over Asuka. I have Rhea over Natalya. And then, yes, to your question, Dip, I could see Trish over Becky. And I'll say this, too. Whether some people think that her promos are last night and others have been really bad, like you guys seem to feel about this week. And I, of course, have been tough on some of them as well. I just didn't think last night was bad. No matter how you cut it, I think we all agree it's kind of put up or shut up time for Trish. She needs to kind of put on a match on Saturday.
Yeah, and I think she will be able to, right? Because, you know, when she had that match with Charlotte at SummerSlam a few years back, it was even more high pressure than this one. It was like, how's she going to be after all this time off? And they sort of delivered they delivered a banger. So I think that she, I don't think that the ring rust is there as much as it was back then, and that she'll definitely be able to deliver, but we just got to get to the bell ringing, because the promo stuff, especially her carrying the promo as a mean girl, it's not landing for me.
Why are we, when you say mean girl, do you mean like it's directly referencing the movie, supposed to be that kind of mean girl?
No, I think just her like
heel,
like she being, yeah.
You just mean being a bad guy?
But she's like sort of bullying her, like talking down to Becky Lynch and like very condescending. I'm better than you. You need
I mean, the real theme of her thing is I did it all. I'm the reason.
You need to pay respect
me.
To me. Yeah.
I don't like it. I don't like that. It's nothing.
Why not?
It's not real.
Kind of is real.
But that's not, I don't know. I hate when they take history and make it a storyline in present day. I'm the reason this. I'm the person. You should be this. I mean, I just don't.
I don't know.
It's accurate, though. It's a ready built-in. It's a built-in story that they can.
But Becky
sort
Lynch
of run with anybody. Maybe that's
a Hall of Famer in the making. So it's like.
But you may not like the way they told it. But like, I'm surprised you wouldn't like the idea that someone from the Attitude Era comes back and is like, you've had tons of these contract signings. I've never had one.
Right.
I literally never was given the opportunity to do what you're doing. And
I paved
the
way. I paved the way for you to have this opportunity.
Why didn't she have contract signings? I didn't
because no one cared about.
She's
them.
A woman.
They were afterthoughts.
Right.
It was put on your bikini and have a match. And then even in the later days when her and Lita met more, it still didn't get contract signing segments.
You know,
they would get their one segment in a 5-minute title match, and that would be it.
Right. I guess that's true.
Yeah.
So what I think that's an example of maybe, Dip, is that they didn't tell the story well for you because it didn't connect to you.
Right.
I think there was a way to tell it, though, of like, and that's where her delivery comes in. Just being able to really dig into the sincere part of it that's like, it's messed up that I wasn't able to do
well,
this.
That's a good point. And it didn't really land for me. And I'll tell you why, probably, because they didn't really get to say they didn't say like I was objectified. Like, you know, she didn't like just
dig into it.
Right. She didn't really dig into that aspect of it because they don't want to say that on television. So, so maybe that's why it didn't necessarily land in the way it should. But
well, I think also
I was always a Trish fan, and I'm a Becky fan. And
I just think it's unfortunate.
If
she doesn't, I hope she has a great match. And because I think it's unfortunate. I think it's so cool that someone of her status, and she looks great,
yeah,
is back and really wants to be there every week.
Yeah, me too.
It would be a real shame if something didn't land in a major way. I'll just say that.
They are going to have a great match. I have faith in that.
Better than, remember, we were very hard on Lita's match in Saudi Arabia a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a tough one. Yeah. And these, and the, yeah.
Yeah. But that was Lita Reich after such a long absence. Trish wrestled at the WrestleMania match. She's hopefully been, you know, getting some reps in behind the scenes still. So, you know, she's been in front of the crowd. I feel like she'll be able to get into a rhythm.
I think so too. I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. Mm. All right. What are you guys most looking forward to about Double or Nothing?
I mean, I have a feeling that this Four Pillars match, even though we know what the result will be, I think it is going to be one of the best matches. It's going to be, I think it could be match of the year. Honestly, I think they're going to go crazy making this an incredible match. I mean, let's face it. You have Darby Allin, you have Jungle Boy, you have MJF, and you have Sammy Guevara. Four of the best that are doing it today in the ring together. All four of them. You know, in-ring performers, those are four of the best. No question about it.
I don't know if I'd put Darby as one of the best in-ring performers in the business today.
He's a shocking wrestler, though. He's crazy things.
I just wouldn't describe it as that. I find him entertaining. I think it's four of the most entertaining in the business today, okay, for sure.
All right, so go with that.
I mean, we talked about that Jungle Boy needs work character-wise, but I still really enjoy him. I think Sammy's fantastic. And you know how I feel about Max. So, no, I think that the championship four-way is going to be amazing. I think we would all be shocked if someone took it from Max. Not because at this time I wouldn't think you could set up a story like that. I just can't see it being one of these three guys. I don't think there's enough juice.
No, that's in the story.
Yeah, it's cool. I'm excited for it. I'm going to watch. But it doesn't have the juice for someone to take the title off them.
No, it doesn't. But they've done a good job building it up. They have. There's no question. Because I've been watching, you know, and it's been good.
FTR versus Double J and Jay Lethal, that'll be a lot of fun.
It's unbelievable what Jarrett's doing, man. I said a couple weeks ago, you got to give it up to Jeff Jarrett. He's consistent every week. I mean, the guy is still doing it. It's amazing.
Well, I
can't believe that he's still doing it at the level.
SGG about it is it's the one place WWE, in my opinion, not one, there are other ones. It's the most glaring place WWE could learn something from AEW. Instead of looking at making sure we don't look at them as an inferior product and looking at everything they do, their use of veterans can be fantastic. Double J still has things to give this business. There's no reason. The beauty of pro wrestling is that people can do it until a crazy old age if they take care of themselves. And Double J,
clearly.
I mean, he's still having good matches. It's just awesome. And then next match right there, again, talking about use of veterans. Wardlow has Arn Anderson. It's cool to get to see Arn Anderson in a meaningful role. I really enjoy it. I think there's so much room to use guys like that. Against Christian Cage, by the way, who's no spring chicken either.
No, he's another veteran.
He's 49 to you and me.
Let me tell you something.
It's so crazy that we were watching them. So I looked up Jeff Jarrett's age. I can't believe he's just 55. He feels like he should be much older.
What AEW should be doing from this Four Pillars match is having Sting interfere in a real way on behalf of Darby. And they should be building up to an MJF versus Sting retirement situation that, you know, culminates. It's not going to be Wembley, but it culminates at some giant event where.
Why not Wembley? Why is Wembley?
Because I think they're doing.
There's already being rumored.
Yeah, they know what they're doing for Wembley.
Got it.
Okay. I'm pretty sure. I don't know anything special. I'm just saying.
Let's see if they know.
Yeah, I think
that's all out, right?
That's all in.
All in. I get confused between the ins and outs.
Understandable.
Well, listen, we've all said this ad nauseum now. We can't all restate the same thing as if it's new information that we want to see Sting versus Max for retirement and versus title. We all want to see that.
And
that
I'd like to see Max go through each version of Sting. Sting comes out in the red. Sting comes out in the Joker. Sting comes out as Surfer Sting. Sting comes out as NWO Sting. Sting comes out.
And that would be a lot of fun.
It would be fun.
And even if you know Max is going to come out as the winner, it will still be.
I'd love to see Sting win the title. Retire as the champion and then give it up somehow. You know?
I don't see anything officially like a big rumor for the All In main.
Are you seeing any minor rumors?
Building up Sting to be in the main event against Max for the title is a
you seen anything?
Is a necessary situation for AEW.
Seen anything interesting? Any interesting rumors? Even
no.
if it's like,
I'm probably not doing a good job looking.
Maybe not. I don't. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Maybe I mixed it up with this Four Pillars match.
But either way, yeah, I think that would be super duper cool. And Wardlow versus Christian's been fun. Then you have Orange Cassidy. This is a championship that is ridiculous, by the way.
Which is it again?
I mean,
the international
championship.
I know.
Dude,
listen.
The one thing that has not changed about that show that's ridiculous is that literally every segment you watch has a champion competing. I'm not kidding. It can be every segment, the entire show.
I know.
It blows my mind. So that's Orange Cassidy versus Aaron Solo versus Powerhouse Hobbs versus QT Marshall versus a whole bunch more in the Blackjack Battle Royal. Then they have Jamie Hayter versus Tony Storm for the Women's Championship. Blackpool Combat Club. Can I tell you guys, I mean, is it kind of like crazy the position that they have Moxley in right now? Like Moxley
crazy good or crazy
like,
bad?
No, bad. Like, I'm just shocked. Listen, you can't stay on top and be in the title picture constantly.
Okay.
But you guys aren't telling me that when you watch the show and Mox pops on, his story doesn't feel like big time a Jace?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
I mean, with the rumors of what he was paid to be there, it's like it is shocking sometimes to see like the screen time that he's sharing. I'm like, wow.
Yeah. Okay. How crazy is it that Jericho is? Do you see the Roddy Strong Jericho match this week?
No, mate.
No, I heard good things about it though.
Yeah. They do it. They fight throughout it's like watching a video game where you go throughout each room in the back and then they finally end up outside. It was awesome. They wrestled throughout the whole arena. It was great.
Dude, let's also call it what it is. Isn't there a chance, and you know I say this with all due hate towards Jericho, isn't there a chance that Jericho Adam Cole steals the show?
Yeah. I think it's a high chance that it steals the show. I mean,
Chris Jericho will do anything.
Again, all due hate to Chris Jericho, but what he does, I think, very well, is he performs, if he's in there with a great talent, he performs at the level. If he's in there with somebody not so great, he brings them up to a certain level. And Adam Cole is a great talent.
Yes.
That's just, like, Adam Cole has been one of my favorites. Love Adam Cole. And I think that Adam Cole is the right kind of guy to get Chris Jericho inspired, to get him to try some new things, to get him to go somewhere we haven't seen him go before. And I think they're going to deliver. Well, they have the potential to deliver a great match, I think. So I don't think it's crazy to put high expectations on this match because Chris Jericho and Adam Cole are two of the people you've come to expect that from.
Listen, I'll tell you one thing in closing about this AEW show. And for anyone wondering about NXT, we have a big NXT show coming up later this week that I'll tell you about in a second. I'll just say I have plenty of times when I have lapses and I'm just not watching AEW and they lose me and I kind of check in to see what MJF is doing and kind of check out. They have never, I think to this date, maybe they've had one pay-per-view that I didn't want to make time to watch. They do a great job by the time it gets to pay-per-view time, stacking up a card that you go, okay, I got to see what's going on here.
Yeah.
And I think they've done that this weekend. So Saturday afternoon, 12 noon, I'll see you on the Peacock for the kickoff show for the Big Night of Champions.
Yeah, and speaking of Peacock, I gotta give them a shout out. Oh. That Ric Flair documentary that you were featured in.
Yes.
On Peacock. It was nominated for a Sports Emmy.
We came up short though, didn't we?
Yeah, sadly did not win. But I mean, listen, man, wrestling fans have been clamoring for an Emmy. Mostly for the Bloodline, but we've been clamoring for an Emmy. So to get nominated and to come close and to have represented from Peacock in that room when they were announcing the winner and just be right there in my mind, right there.
I would have liked to have had you fight to get me the Emmy if it had won. I would like one. I mean, I think I was in that Flair one many times.
You know,
I
you had the
one of the more prominent roles. I think
you have to get that Emmy.
Life is
and
long.
Maybe an Emmy nomination for my glasses episode this past week of Treasures, which I haven't
seen.
That
was one of the most heartbreaking things I've had to watch in a long time.
Did you watch it?
Yes, I did. I watched.
I wasn't able to see it.
It was no.
No.
Are you on Treasures this week?
Yeah.
He was on Treasures last week, the Bret Hayman Hart episode.
I didn't watch it yet.
The screw job glasses.
How long do they stay with our story?
You got a whole segment.
Oh, it was a whole seg?
Yeah, you got a whole segment. They show them driving in. They're talking you up. They play clips of you from the Royal Rumble, the infamous Royal Rumble where you become our forever 24/7 championship.
Oh, we gotta see this, dude. That sounds kind of mean.
They don't play the match. They play you just like, you know, at the announce desk. But, you know.
But it's talked about that I'm a champion.
I don't recall if it's talked about, but they talk about how much you love the business and how much they love that you love the business and how you're a great guy.
How can I see this? Can you like give me a password or something? It didn't pop up on my A&E.
I'm
gonna take care of you. I'm gonna take care of you, Pete. But
all right, shoot me a password. I just want to see that real quick.
But they talk you up and then they go to your house.
I love being talked up. In case you're wondering,
then you know what happens after that. And Vintage Frames. Still a great guy, but I have to have a sit down with that man about.
He tried. I think he did it in earnest, but hey, it is what it is. Listen, everyone, we love you. We want you to stay mage, and we'll come back this week with a Black Power ranking, some mailbag, and we'll preview the big NXT Battleground this weekend with the one and only, wait for it, guys. I'm talking about your NXT World Champion, Carmelo Hayes, on the program. So,
oh, yeah. Hopefully
we will talk to Carmelo Hayes. We'll talk about Battleground. We'll talk about his whole run. Get you all set. What are your thoughts, Dip?
I'm feeling mage thoughts about that. I do want to talk about on Friday. Maybe a little quick segment. I went there in person for the first time.
Until they pay. They need to pay. They've gotten a lot.
Yeah, we might even have to bleep that out. I do want to talk about on Friday.
All right, everyone. Rosenbergbeats at gmail.com or follow us on Instagram at Rosenberg Radio, at Stat Guy Greg, at The Dipperstein. And do us a favor, stay mage.
Mm-hmm. Definitely take it easy, mage, man. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening. At this time, I would like to introduce in the corner to my left,
The Majesty,
Sweet, Sweet Peter Rosenberg.
And then I went to makeup and like sat in front of the mirror a little bit and got myself together.
Also, ladies and gentlemen, at this time, I would like to introduce...
Shout out to that guy, Greg.
Bret Hart is the greatest professional wrestler in the history of the art form.
Midge.